At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we'll be joined by newly hired Vice President of Business Operations for the Barracuda, James Collins.
Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are very pleased to be joined by the newly minted Vice President of Business Operations, James Collins. James, first and foremost, I've welcomed you in person, but I'm going to officially welcome you here on the podcast. Welcome to the organization. We're so excited to have you and can't wait for your leadership and guidance. But welcome aboard. How's it going so far?
It's great. Thank you, Noli. It's just awesome to be here. I mean, this is a great organization, specifically the Barracuda. It's just such a great opportunity. I mean, the Sharks have established themselves in a fantastic way over the course of the last three decades. The Barracuda, you know, have been working to the last couple of years. And so to have a hockey market with as many sheets of ice as we've got up here, coupled with TechCU Arena and an emerging fan base, like you can't ask for a much better situation than this to help grow the fan base and the business of a minor league hockey team. It's a great place to be. I'm excited to be here. So thank you very much.
So with these interviews, with this podcast, I like to go back, kind of go through the path. This is often with players to kind of lead into how they got to San Jose. So I want to do the same with you. You just celebrated a big graduation. You're a husband, you're a father, and you just had a big graduation. Wasn't high school, was it?
It was kindergarten. My son Maddox. He's at Park Elementary School. We still live down south. I'm in Alhambra as we decide where we're going to live up north. And he did his TK graduation a year ago. And I didn't know that they did TK and kindergarten. And I was like, is this going to be an every year thing? And so I guess there's a pause between kindergarten and sixth grade. So this is our last one for a while, but it was awesome. He had a lot of fun. He saw his grandparents and got a couple cool gifts. He had a fun day.
I'm sure he loved having you be there as well, of course, with you being up in San Jose right now, dealing with the transition. You mentioned you live in Southern California, wife works down there as well, but you've got two young kids, Liam and Maddox. So you've got a transitional period ahead for you for sure. But I know it's an exciting transition for you because you spent almost two decades in the sports realm, in professional sports, the NBA, the NHL, the AHL. And then you went outside of sports for a different venture, more in the restaurant space.
Yeah.
But you're back because this is where your heart lies and your passion lies. So walk us through returning back to pro sports.
It feels amazing. I mean, candidly. So the restaurant experience, I worked for Be Good Restaurant Experience. I was the GM of their store in Huntington Beach and their director of sales for the entire operation. It was a great opportunity, but you knew like 2-3 months in that I wasn't going to enjoy it the same way that you do sports. I think that the camaraderie, I think a lot of people would be surprised at the camaraderie off the ice in sports and how close it is to the camaraderie on the ice in sports. So a hockey team on the ice obviously spends a lot of time together and builds really close bonds and relationships that withstand the test of time. The same thing happens in the front office of a team. And you know that you've been through it for a number of years. You know, it's long hours, it's, you know, close quarters, you know, in the office with the people you work with. And honestly, I don't think that you find it outside of sports. I mean, most of us come with some semblance of an athletic background, some others more than others. But, you know, the competitive spirit, the team bonding that happens in the front office of a sports team is pretty special. So it's an amazing thing to be back in it. I'm not just saying it, you know, just being real. The Barracuda have a very close-knit office. I'm coming in, you know, following the loss of Frank Torres, and my heartfelt condolences to everyone that knew Frank and has gone through this together. But this team is really special because there is a good bond in that office already, you know, and that's despite a lot of tragedy and having an all-star game this year and just having a lot thrust onto the organization's plate. So it's a really cool place to be. You know, I'm excited to bring my expertise on the revenue side and, you know, the ticketing and sponsorship side, but there's already a great foundation in place to build off of and do great things. So it's a very exciting time.
You mentioned a lot of people in sports, working in sports, have some sort of athletic background. I can say the same for myself. I grew up playing sports, loved sports as a kid. That passion obviously still burns bright. How about yourself? You play any sports as a kid? Where'd this passion for sports come from?
Yeah, wow, that's a loaded question. So the first part is I was a limited athlete. So I ran track in freshman year, and I've played tennis my whole life. So I feel like I could have done some pretty impressive things on the tennis circuit if I wanted to. Still play fairly often, but definitely not as athletic as others. I did run the mile in 5:03. That is the stat that I'm most excited about. Almost broke the 5-minute mark. But I think the competitive spirit and where the love for sports comes from are my brothers. You know, I've got an older brother, 5 years older, younger brother, 2 years younger, and we competed on everything. I mean, whether it was a game of Madden, playing on the Super Nintendo, or, you know, just running up the stairs at Christmas, you know, just like the scene in, Toy Story, or not Toy Story, what's that movie? Christmas Story. So it's just one of those things where we competed in everything. I mean, we used to play milk carton football. We'd blow up a milk carton, we'd go to the living room, we'd put on layers and layers of jackets, and we'd beat the heck out of each other just playing and competing in milk carton football. So it's definitely my brothers is where it comes from, and they have a lot of fun with what I do today.
You're telling me off air, Northport is technically, I guess, your hometown or that region in New York, Long Island, for those who are thinking hockey and thinking the Islanders, that region.
Yeah.
But you've lived all over. You've been in California since the early 90s. I know you left for a little bit with different various job opportunities. How did you come all the way west? Was it always a desire for you to come out to the West Coast? Talk us through how this began.
Yeah, honestly, it was just in high school. My claim to fame is Kobe Bryant played against my high school in Pennsylvania. I spent the last 3 years on the main line. I went to Conestoga. My mother lived in Los Angeles. And after college, I knew that I needed to pay for my own school. So I was looking for, honestly, the most cost-effective, you know, education I could find. And California had really good rates on in-state tuition. And I wanted a chance to spend more time with my mother. So I moved to Los Angeles, went to Pasadena City College to start, and then eventually graduated from Cal State LA. But it was motivated by spending time with my mother and wanting, I knew I needed to pay for it. So I wanted to make it as affordable as I could. And California has always done a really good job that for in-state residents.
I know you had a big mentor during your professional career, and we'll dive into that a little bit, but you mentioned Kobe Bryant, and before he played your high school, or I guess post him playing your high school, you weren't a fan until you really moved out to LA, and that's when you became a Laker fan and a Kobe Bryant fan, and he's inspired you a lot during your professional career. If you don't mind, just kind of laid out for us what Kobe and his mentality has kind of meant to you personally in your career.
Yeah, I mean, so I honestly did become a fan in high school just because the legend of him was that he was in the gym at 4 a.m. and, you know, doing all this crazy stuff through homeroom, shooting every day. And if you're not familiar with that part of the country, it gets really cold in the winter. I mean, it's really cold. So to get out of bed takes a lot of effort because the house is kept at 62, whatever. So Kobe's, you know, his work ethic and his desire to be great, I think, was something that was legend then, and it grew, and you heard about it. And then as his career went on, you just realized how true it all was. And so what I found in following Kobe was I wanted to emulate his work ethic as much as I could. And so working in ticket sales, that meant being the first one in the office, you know, really beating the executives, beating the team president, the chief marketing officer, staying later than everyone, putting in more calls. It's just understanding your craft and knowing how you can put in that time to be great. And that's what I pulled from my time, you know, watching Kobe through the years. And, you know, the cool thing is it's cool and it's a somber note. When he passed in 2020, I was working for the LA Kings, and we had the first event at Staples Center following his death. And at the time, there across the street, there was the memorial. And I'll never forget that first game back. We did a really cool ceremony for him and Gigi at the game. But before the game, I walked out to the patio outside the Lexus Club, and I looked across the street at the memorial. There was 20,000 people there, and it was dead silent. And I've never been in any sporting event or place in my life where you saw 20,000 people who weren't making a sound. And it's because they obviously were all with their own thoughts and, you know, time just honoring and remembering Kobe and Gigi and those families of that tragedy. So he left an indelible mark on people. My favorite sporting event, really quick, was I got to go to his last game, and I had the opportunity to be there. And I talked with people from all over the world that day about why they were there and how they got there and what he meant to them. And it's just, he was really cool in terms of what he meant to every different person in every different way.
Legacies start here.
Opportunity for the hat trick. He scores!
Season tickets are now available for the 24-25 season of the Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Never miss a moment of Barracuda hockey by becoming a Battery member, with perks like exclusive Meet the Team events and discounted tickets to premium areas. You won't want to wait to learn more. Call 408-999-5757 or go to sjbarracuda.com.
You told us when you were a young kid, you didn't talk a bunch.
No.
You were pretty quiet, pretty reserved. Yeah. And then you took a sales role in sports.
Yeah.
So what made you think that that was a good idea?
I don't know at the time that I thought it was. So the background was I worked in back office operations at Wells Fargo at night. Back in the day, we used to process checks manually, and I could put my headphones on, my hat backwards, a hoodie over, and just process checks. And I didn't have to talk to anybody. But I knew that I had a passion for sports. I wanted to break in. I applied for hundreds of jobs on Teamwork Online, rarely got any response, if any, but the Clippers reached out. I was in a group interview with the Clippers. I didn't get the job, but they invited me back to the next one. I didn't get the job. They invited me back to the third one. And before I accepted, I said, why aren't you hiring me? And why do you keep bringing me back? And they said, because your passion is pretty impressive. It's just, we don't know that you can do this job. We want you to sell us on why you can. And I just made the decision that I had to, you know. And so I went in there. I was very quiet. I broke out of being an introvert. And through time, I ran up the ranks from an inside sales rep to an EVP of sales and service. So it's just, it's something that I just had to do. You know, it was the calling for me, was to work in this side of the business.
So you've worked in the NBA. You mentioned the Clippers. You spent time with the Hawks. You spent time with the Kings. So this isn't your first stint in Northern California. You also spent some time in the NHL in New Jersey with the Devils, back kind of in your more stomping grounds as a kid, at least on the East Coast. And then you even spent some time with the LA Kings and the Ontario Reign in the AHL. So you've been to the peak of the mountain, if you will, in terms of the highest level of sports, but you have spent some time in the AHL. And the American League is a different animal. It's a unique entity. You can maybe do different things in minor pro sports than you can do in the NHL or in the NBA. So what about the AHL and this league in particular drew you back to it? Because you could have looked for a job in the NHL or in the NBA or the NFL, but you elected to come back to this league. What about the AHL drew you back?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I do believe you always work for the people. And the Sharks brass, have a very great reputation of being great people first. And I really enjoyed the interview process and going and getting to know John Gustafson, Brian Towers, Jonathan Becker, et cetera. So the people were the biggest part of it. In terms of the challenge, I think is the other great part. You know, Tech CU Arena, you know it. It's a beautiful venue. It's an amazing place, and we need to have it sold out every night. You know, at 4,200 capacity, it's well within the realm of possibility. And the competitive spirit in me really loved that. It's a great market, obviously. You know, you're talking about the Sharks and what they've done. You know, Tech CU Arena has six sheets of ice, 400,000 square feet of hockey and skating. And there's just, it's built for success. So I'm strategic in terms of what I'm looking for. What I love about the AHL, and you touched on it, is the creativity and the fun that you can do. The pucks and paws, the CUDA classrooms. You know, there's so many great group initiatives that we can run that keep it fresh and different. The last thing I'll say about that is I do love the pros, the majors. They're great. But I think that the sense of community and the family feel that you get going to an AHL game is really special. You know, speaking as a father of two and a husband, I want to take my family places where I know that they're going to see that element and have fun in that space. And there's nothing like when you build a great fan base in the AHL, when you're walking around that concourse during an intermission and you see so many people that know each other and it becomes its own family. And so we've had these conversations the first couple of weeks that I've been here, but really making sure that people understand we want Tech CU Arena and the Reef to be a place where you really get to know everyone, you know, from the ushers to, you know, the ticketing staff, the concession people, security. Like, we want you to get to know the people that sit around you, because these are people that are like-minded. You know, you're going to do business with them. We're going to become a great Barracuda family. And then it's going to be very hard to get in because there's only 4,200 seats available per game. So I think that the creativity of the AHL coupled with the family component of the AHL game is what really makes this fun. And I'm excited most about that.
It's a great point that you brought up, that camaraderie. I was actually at a Sharks event the other night. We did a Q&A with Tom Holley, the assistant GM for the Sharks, and they had a season ticket holder come up and talk about his experience. They were trying to get people to buy season tickets and packs for the upcoming year. And he just talked about the camaraderie. They see people every game that they know and they become friends with, and it's part of this little family. And I think at the AHL level, it's probably even enhanced even more because you've got more families, right? It's more open. It's more affordable in many ways. So I think that's an outstanding point and kind of where the future goes with this team. And I want to ask about that. I'm sure you had to do lots of different pitches to the upper management and the brass during this process about how you plan to bring folks in and how you hope to sell the building out. What are some of those? What is your vision to get this thing really rolling downhill? Obviously, some progress, big progress was made this past year, but still there's a lot to fill in terms of seats and opportunity. So how do you hope to accomplish those goals?
Well, it's communicating, right? It's making sure that the market is familiar with the venue first and foremost. I mean, it's sparkling, it's new, it's shiny. I watched your press conference a couple of years ago a few times to learn about the building. It's one of those things where I think it's the number one selling point is obviously the place where you're going to have the experience. But it's the just making sure that we can communicate, the data capture, making sure that we understand who's coming into our building, making sure that we're communicating them what we're doing, what it's going to look like. It's getting people out. Like, our sales and marketing staff are going to work very hard to get people to come and check out a game and check out the facility and grow their experience and let them see that it semblance of the NHL game and the Sharks game, but it is something distinctively different. So it's a lot of grassroots stuff. I mean, again, it's a lot of phone calls, it's a lot of attending events and just making sure that people start to see the Barracuda logo and think more of it and think more of Tech CU Arena and how it can benefit them and help fill their needs.
I think everybody in the professional space has to find a mentor to help maybe provide a beacon of light in their career. And everybody who is successful, I think, often has a mentor at some point in their career. You spoke to us as a group when you first we first all met each other, and we sat down and you kind of introduced yourself. And you talked about one of your mentors that has been really, I would say, influential in your career. Tell us a little bit about this gentleman. I believe you mentioned that you first got connected with him in Atlanta with the Hawks, if I'm not mistaken. But tell us about your mentor and how that's been influential on your career.
Yeah, no, I love talking about him. So his name is Jeff Marander. He's currently the president and CEO of ALSD. For those that aren't familiar, it's a conference that goes worldwide that focuses on ticketing and premium seating at the highest level, you know, and he's run that now for, I want to say, 2 years after a lengthy background as the VP of sales for a number of different teams. I was fortunate enough to work for him in Atlanta. And the thing that really struck all of us about him, but myself especially, was the level of integrity that he brought to the job. You know, he was just so honest and forthcoming with everyone. You know, the way he communicated with our ownership was the same way that he would communicate with any of us. And he really, you know, he struck a chord with us that year in Atlanta. We were selling the Hawks. We were 13-69. The Thrashers were going through, if people remember the Thrashers, the hockey team, we were going through the NHL lockout. And, you know, he really taught us a lot that year. And unfortunately for us, he left for the Sacramento Kings. And we had a close bond, and he invited me to come and join him there and helping grow that team and its culture. So he has been probably, next to my parents, the most influential person in my life. I've tried to emulate the integrity and the thoughtfulness that he brings to the job and the way that he communicates with people just honestly and openly. Because like I said, I think that, you know, often in sales especially, people have a specific connotation of what a salesman looks like, a salesperson looks like. And it's usually pretty negative connotation. And so what we want to do is just make sure that people see that, you know, when it's done right, sales is really an admirable profession and it's an admirable role. And like I said, he's meant the world to me. My father passed in 2017 and I've leaned on him a lot, you know, to kind of fill that role and help me out. And again, Jeff Marander, we call him Jam, the commander. He's definitely that guy.
Well, I know everybody, like I mentioned, I think people who go far in life, career-wise, often have mentors, even non-career-wise, right? Just being a good person, mentors are highly valuable in my mind. So it's cool that you have a mentor like that. And I appreciated you sharing that story as well. I'm going to ask you one more question before we let you go, because I think this has been fun, just allowing for fans to understand you as a person. They'll see a lot walking the concourse once the season starts, but this gives people a chance to kind of peel back the curtain and find who James is. I know you're a big, big Chicago Bears fan.
Yeah.
You're from New York originally. How the heck are you a Bears fan?
Yeah, it's a great story. So we were living in South Jersey in the mid-80s, dating myself a little bit there. My father worked for a printing machinery company based out of Chicago. So I had every Chicago Bears poster there was. It's what we had. I'm the middle son. My brothers were both Eagles fans living in South Jersey. I was going to be a fan of anything that they weren't. And so the first football game I kind of watched was Walter Payton's last. I had the flu that day. I couldn't go outside. I remember sitting inside watching Walter Payton and hearing stories about him. I was like, oh, I got this guy's poster on my wall. I'll figure out who he is. And the Bears are just, you know, it's a historical organization, one of the oldest in sports. And obviously there have been a lot of down years. So very excited for this upcoming season. I think the Bears potentially have never been in a better spot outside of 85. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch these guys grow.
Bears, Sharks, some parallels. Two
Absolutely.
Teams picking up one overall. The excitement, the future is bright.
Oh, so, celebrating, yeah. Come check us out.
I'm a Browns fan, as a lot of our fans know, so I think it builds character. We're fans of blue-collar, hard-nosed football teams in those type of cities, and they don't win very often. So we learn to, you know, we're loyal. We continue to support no matter what. But we can't thank you enough, James. This was awesome. I think fans will enjoy this. Just an opportunity to introduce yourself. You know, we're really excited to have you as part of the organization. It's been kind of a long road for us in many ways, and you're going to do a great job. We're excited for you to be a part of the team. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nolly. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys. Go Team Teal.
A big thank you to Barracuda Vice President of Business Operations, James Collins. That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger, saying thanks for listening, and so long until next time.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.